Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Haley Stasiak here with Jordan Hamm. Tough loss for the Diamondbacks in the NLDS Game 1. 9-5 was the final score there. Taijuan Walker not lasting out of that first inning. Jordan, what did you see out of him that kind of either concerned you or gave you a little bit of hope for the rest of the potential playoffs? Or what would you have done, I guess, in that case? Would you have started Taijuan?
I would have. His numbers, I actually wrote about this coming into this game. His numbers against the Dodgers were pretty good, specifically in the second half. He pitched pretty well against them. Look, you weren't going to have Zach Greinke go. You weren't going to have Robbie Ray go. Then you have Zach Godley, who is pretty inexperienced. Pat Corbin, who got beat up by the Dodgers this year. And then you have Taijuan Walker. I think it was the right move to go. We have seen this year Taijuan Walker's an emotional guy. Maybe the moment got maybe a little bit too big for him, or he got a little bit overwhelmed and that sort of thing. But in that first inning, like, yes, obviously the Justin Turner home run was an absolute bomb. But in the case of Yasiel Puig, that was a 9-pitch at bat. He just kept battling. Justin Turner, I think you have to give him a ton of credit, because what he was able to do when the ball was in the strike zone was foul it off until he got the pitch he wanted. And Taijuan threw a lot of really good out pitches that, you know, started in the zone and dropped out, or was just trying to nibble off of that zone that just missed. Great pitches, but Justin Turner, I was so impressed with his ability to know that strike zone. So while, yes, the end result, that last pitch was not a great pitch and Turner was able to go down and get it, I think the pitch sequencing was really there. So you obviously have to have a relatively tight leash on a guy in the postseason. I think some would argue that Torey Lovullo kept him in a little bit too long. But that first inning could have been even worse. I thought Taijuan bounced back. But obviously, just when you're going up against this lineup, that's just going to happen sometimes.
I would agree with you with that. I mean, he gave up that Justin Turner home run and then came back out and struck out two in a row. So I think somewhat the command was there, but as you said, the moment may have gotten to him a little bit. Zach Godley came in the second. What was it that you saw out of him? I mean, he went 5 innings. I was personally impressed by what he was able to accomplish against his Dodger team. But again, starting Taijuan Walker, you don't want to bring a guy like Zach Godley in the second inning. You're expecting to put him potentially in later or save him for later in the playoffs, or even in that sense, what did you see out of Zach Godley that you liked?
I mean, obviously, when you're in that position, you're just trying to stop the bleeding, and he was able to do that over those next couple of innings. He gave up a couple runs. He forced, you know, there was a slow ground ball to Goldie that Godley tried to scoop up and get the out, wasn't able to. That led to a run. So that's kind of the big, that was kind of the big issue I had with his performance, was maybe trying to do a little bit too much. But I think that was the right strategy. You didn't want your bullpen to be completely off kilter and have guys coming in when they're usually coming in the sixth inning, having them come in the second inning or the third inning. I think you burn Godley there, which is exactly what they were able to do. Get 5 innings out of them. It wasn't perfect, but it put them in a position to win. And I thought overall he did a great job. He's still, you know, he's kind of, in terms of pitches and the innings that he threw, he's kind of at that floor of where he usually is when he starts. So it's not inconceivable that he could be ready to go, game 3 in another relief appearance or something like that. They kind of said that, he might be the odd man out in the rotation, so he could be in other long relief situations.
At the plate, we had AJ Pollock with a home run, Ketel Marte with a home run, JD Martinez and Jeff Mathis. What was encouraging about these plate appearances to you that going into game 2 and game 3 kind of gives us kind of a glimmer of hope that the Diamondbacks come out and win one of these games?
I mean, Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher in baseball, in my opinion. And when you're able to connect in the way that they were able to connect. You know, it's not, it wasn't like those were little doink shot home runs. Those were line drives. They made really good contact on that. So that's always encouraging. But what good pitchers do is when they give that home run up, it's with nobody on. And that's, you know, there were a couple situations where guys could have been on leading into that, or they got on right after. The timing just wasn't there. So, yes, if you're a Dodgers fan, you might be a little concerned that Clayton gave up four really hard hit balls that happened to go over the fence. But the encouraging thing for them is that no one was on. So it just led to those four runs. And then, you know, the Diamondbacks picked up a run at the end of the game. But they're making solid contact. Obviously, Clayton Kershaw's the standard when it comes to pitchers. So you're facing Rich Hill, who had a solid year, but the Diamondbacks he has like a 5 ERA against the Diamondbacks, so they hit him pretty well. Obviously, another lefty, but you think, my guess is Jake Lamb would be in the lineup in this case. You know, they're kind of the lineup's lefty woes kind of dissipated when they brought in JD Martinez. They were able to kind of stagger the lineup a little bit. But, you know, when you have a guy like Kershaw in, you're not going to have Jake Lamb hit. You're not going to have Daniel Descalzo hit, who had a key hit in that wild card game. So I think that they can kind of stack the lineup a little bit more to what they like rather than having to cater around a guy like Kershaw.
I think the biggest thing here is it's game one, and I mean, the last time the Diamondbacks faced off against this Dodgers team, the Dodgers were in a slump. So putting a guy like Brandon Drury in the lineup instead of Daniel Descalzo against Clayton Kershaw, where you know Clayton Kershaw is going to deal, and kind of figuring out and feeling out this Dodgers offense as well, I think that that was huge. And I personally believe that the decisions that Torey Lovullo made tonight were the right ones. But in that sense, game two, now that you've kind of felt it out with game one, you're probably going to put a guy like Daniel Descalzo back in that lineup. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
I would totally agree with that. I think Lamb comes back into the lineup. I think Descalzo, you can make a case for Chris Iannetta. I know that Mathis statistically is the worst hitter. He had a home run tonight, but you could. That's kind of a crapshoot, and you know, as we know, Torey Lovullo has a process for everything, so I'm sure he's already thinking on who will be behind the plate, not only for the offense's purposes, but how will Robbie Ray be most acclimated. But when you're going into this series, like, I think it's fair to feel like when you're going in a game against Clayton Kershaw and you don't have your one or your two, you're probably going to lose. So they've positioned themselves nicely to have Robbie Ray, granted it's on short rest, in game two against a guy that they hit well. So you have to be feeling pretty good. And you need to take one of these games at Dodger Stadium, and then when you're both of them at Chase Field, and you're moving on. So it's not like the sky is falling by any means.
I would totally agree with you that. I mean, watching this game, I personally didn't think that it was, like, I wasn't worried at all. Like we've talked about all season, complete faith in Torey Lovullo and the decisions he makes, putting Taiwan Walker out on the mound. Like I said, obviously you want him to go more than that, just one inning, but you also put yourself in a position where you have Zach Godley in the bullpen and you have some guys in the bullpen that can kind of come out for a little bit longer relief appearances if needed, and that was definitely the case tonight. But in terms of game two, what is it that you're looking out for on both sides with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks for the Diamondbacks to pull this one out?
I mean, they're going to need a Clayton Kershaw performance before the seventh inning out of Robbie Ray. You go back to the wild card game. Greinke didn't get out of the fourth inning. Taiwan got through one. You need someone to give this bullpen a little bit of a break. And you have that luxury of how Zach Godley was able to step up and kind of preserve most of that bullpen for a good chunk of the game to get them to a point at least where they would usually be coming in. But you need a huge performance out of them. I'm interested in seeing how Ketel Marte continues to progress. Mm-hmm. He's 5-for-9 in the postseason, a home run, 2 triples, 2 RBIs. He's been everywhere. So that he's a guy I think that everything's kind of starting to click for him. And we've seen him kind of all over the lineup. So that's a guy I'm really have been impressed with. He's stepped up to some big moments over the past couple of games. So he could be certainly an X factor. And then, you know, we already discussed it, kind of the decisions that Torrey Lovello is going to make in those key positions at third base, at second base. Will it be Descalzo? Will it be Drury? You know, behind the plate, how's that going to work? So those are kind of the things I'm looking out for. And just how do you, I think the biggest question for the Diamondbacks right now is how do you pitch to Justin Turner right now?
Yeah. One thing I am questioning as well is we had Christian Walker and Christopher Negron on the roster for this NLDS series. How exactly, I mean, obviously at first base you've got Paul Goldschmidt and you're probably not going to take him out of the lineup. And then with Negron, he can pretty much play. He's a very versatile player. How do you utilize these guys?
Yeah, I think with Negron, he could be a... I think he's filling the Chris Owings role right now, where... As it was what we thought it was going to be, you know, if Owings was going to be healthy enough to be on this roster, it wasn't going to be as the everyday shortstop or a guy logging a lot of time because he just wasn't there yet. But he does bring value in the sense of a pinch runner, and I think that's where Negron could find it. And then Christian Walker, we saw tonight, he was a pinch hitter. He got on base. He had a single. You know, he has that power, and right. you know, you're not gonna see maybe power out against a guy like Kershaw, especially for the first time, you know, when you're facing a guy like that. But with these other Dodger pitchers, like, there's definitely a potential where he can kind of flex that muscle a little bit. But I think he'll be in a pinch hitter role, and Negron will be in a pinch runner role, definitely.
Game 2 of the NLDS in LA on Saturday night. Big series, obviously. It's one you want to win. You want to take at least one of these in LA. So we will be looking out for the Diamondbacks to take Game 2 and then come back to Phoenix with a solid kind of, I guess, not a lead, but a split series so that they can take this and end up taking it in at Chase Field on Tuesday to force a Game 4. That's what we've got for you this week on Diamonds in the Desert. Be sure to check out sports360az.com for more Diamondbacks and postseason coverage. Thanks for listening in.